start back. No, I'm just kidding. First Corinthians. But we will be in Corinthians for a while. So you might want to leave that little marker in place, and we'll go from there. I read the story about two brothers. These two brothers tormented the small town in which they lived. They were evil. They were just mean brothers, and they found ways to make money. They were loud. They were boisterous. They were extremely wealthy. They sold drugs. They did moonshine. They did in their businesses. They shortchanged people in everything that they did. They were evil. And respectedly, the younger brother. And so the brother wanted the preacher to do his funeral. So he went to the biggest church in town. He taught pastor, the preacher there. He said, look, I need you to preach the sermon about my brother. And at some point in time in the sermon, I need you to call him a saint. Preacher goes, that ain't happening. This is way. You and I know your brother not a saint in form of the word. So the old brother pulls his checkbook out and he'll write you a check for $100,000 towards your new building fund. If at any point in time you can call brother a saint, you do that. And so sure, he says, all right. So the day of the and the man begins his sermon. And he says, preacher. He says, everyone in this assembly knows the deceased was a wicked man. That he was immoral, he was corrupt, a liar, a drunk. He teased his employees. He cheated on taxes. He was wicked and evil. But compared to his older brother, he was a saint. He's a saint. Compared to what? Why use this word? Well, let's begin our new series this morning by reading the first three verses. I'm going to read from the Revised Standard Version, 1 Corinthians 1-3. You'll probably figure out real quick where we get the idea. Saint. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, the church of God which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul reminds the Corinthians, right? And he's reminding us today that we are sanctified, that we are saints. And because of the grace of God, we can have the peace of God. Now, I was thinking back about saints, like, how does somebody be a saint? So I looked in saints in my Bible. In my Bible. Oh, my word. In Google, right? And I was my brain is working with my visual. I'm seeing some stuff, and I was like, you know, I typed in saints, and this pops up, right? New Orleans Saints. And I thought, are you kidding? I had to. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. Before the New Orleans Saints, we're going to be known as the New Orleans Saints. They were going to call it the New Orleans, but they chose to change that name. So now it's New Orleans Saints. Okay, just so
you guys knew that. I didn't know
if you get that. And you ask any man the reason why that's there. Look at this idea of being a saint. Many of the world's religions. This is straight out of a Catholic church website. Many of the world's religions bestow special status on people who demonstrate a life of almost perfect virtue. Religions differ on the title assigned to these people. The Catholic Church calls them saints. The process by which someone becomes a saint is called canonization. The Catholic Church canonized around 3,000 people. According to the Church, this part I love, the Pope does not make someone a saint. The designation of sainthood only recognizes what God has offered.
I mean, I think
that's a very telling definition of a saint. Because even though they lift up and praise people of almost perfect virtue, we're sanctified and we're saints according to God and God Himself. I mean, I don't need the Pope to tell me I'm a saint, nor does anybody else. But what's amazing, God has already brought the process in that sanctifies us or creates this idea of becoming a saint. And I think, this is my personal opinion, because I'm strong on this, but I think it's important that we know who we are. Titles are important. It's important for us to be reminded on a daily basis of who we are. One author wrote about driving his daughter's car, and he said that his car was in the shop. He asked if he could drive his daughter's car. Her friends picked him, so he drove car. And the post-it note right next to her radio, on that post-it note were five things that she was reminding herself of every single day she got in the car. And she put these things. This is what was on her post-it note. God is who he says he is. God can do, he says he can do, and I highlighted this part. I am who God said I am. I can do all things through Christ. God's word is alive, active in me. I thought, man, it's powerful. Those are five incredibly amazing statements. I mean, I want to focus on I am who God says I am this morning, because he calls me a saint. He calls us a lot. So when I looked this up, I thought, well, this got to be in a devotional book. I mean, there'd be an author to attribute to. I didn't find, but I did find this handout by a guy by the name Neil Anderson, and it says it's titled "Who I Am in Christ." And I printed 12 copies. They should be back there if anybody wants to get one of those. But we're going to go over just a third of them. Yeah, Kelly's got them back there. I thought this was really really cool. In other words, who does God say that I am within Scripture? And this is only a third of the list. But John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "I am God's child." I mean, this is I am this. This is who we are this morning. That's important for us to pay attention to. John 15 says, "As a disciple, I'm a friend of Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "I have been justified or declared righteous." 1 Corinthians, right? We have three of these 6-7. I am united to the Lord. I am one with him in spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I've been bought price. I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 12:27. I'm a member of Christ's body. Ephesians 1:3. I've been chosen by God. I've been adopted as his child. Colossians 1:13-14. I have been redeemed and forgiven all of my sins. Colossians 2:10, as we talk about teleos, I am complete in Christ. And then Hebrews 14:16, I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know, but that makes me feel a lot better about who I am. I mean, this is a faith. We just said about God and his faithfulness. You know, it's faithful. We sang about God being holy and how it is for us to be holy. And so that title is important for us to remind ourselves of who we are. You know, there's certain things that the coaches who are trying to work with students or work with somebody that may be having a low self-esteem, they'll give them things to say all the time. I'm worthy, or I'm better, or I'm this, or I'm that, as a reminder of who we are. I think the Bible's filled with those types of things. So let's remember this morning, I am who God says I am. But throw this into culture, right? Let's throw it into the culture. This is Paul talking to Corinthians. He's there for 18 months. Corinth was a multicultural city known for its idol worship and its immorality. I mean, it's a horrible place. We sometimes go, you know, as we talked in the introduction, it's Las Vegas. You know, it's the Los Angeles. It's the New York of its day. I'm not so sure if it's a definition or not. It's pretty evil. I mean, those places considered evil, but this place was really an evil place. One moment in its time, there were 12 pagan temples. Aphrodite, the temple of Aphrodite, had 1,000 prostitutes dedicated to worship. One commentator said, Corinth had a pagan culture and a plethora of perversions. They struggled with their identity. They came from a horrible culture. They come from a place where 1,000 prostitutes are actually helping them in a religious experience because of who Aphrodite was. So they're being taught that having sex promiscuous and being involved in these prostitutes are actually temple goddesses.
You know, they're in priestesses.
And that was part of their worship there. And so this, you've got all this craziness. They all come out as this filth and this corruption, and they're called evil, and they're called awful, and one thing after the other. So Paul is just saying, look, you need to be reminded of who you are. There's two phrases. To play the Corinthian, there was a phrase in that day and time, to play Corinthian was a synonym for someone who loosely. The term Corinthian girl was slang for a loose woman. So there were titles, there were names that were called the people of Corinth. And so Paul, I believe, comes in and reminds them, hey, you're not those names anymore, right? You're a saint. You're sanctified. And I think that that's written. The word sanctified means this: to be made clean, to be separated, and set up for a purpose. The intention of the word within the understanding of the Greek is the idea of sanctification is that something or one is set aside for the use intended by the designer. All right, that's important. So maybe you guys have a certain pen that you use for certain things. Am I the only weirdo? Probably so. I have a pen a type of pen. That if I'm gonna signing, if I'm gonna do, I mean, I have it in my drawer, and I like that it writes nicely. It flows. It's it's got a better ink flow. I mean, it's a prettier pen. I set it aside. A time, and I said, this is my pen. When I have to sign something, if somebody asks me to write them a letter, I sign that, with that pen. You may not know that, but it's a sanctified pen. All right, it's been set aside for a specific purpose. Right, it might be something like glasses. I mean, if you notice, my stuff big print. Right? I don't have half of my Bible. I see it very well. I hate wearing glasses, but I have a bunch of them. I have them set aside, one on my desk, one in the desk at our house. There's one by my bedside. There's one in my car, and there's one downstairs. I can find one of my, I set those aside for a specific purpose, because if there's prints too small, I see it. So I want to set that, that God has set us aside for a specific purpose. We're sanctified. That's what the word means. We're pulled out of the world. We're sanctified at a moment. We continue to be sanctified. I mean, I pick time to set my pen in my desk, and it will always remain there until I ink, and then I get another one like it. The point is that this word in the Greek is an aorist tense, and it means there's a moment in time, but it always continues forward. So there's a moment when we give our lives to Jesus that we are sanctified. We'll always continue to be sanctified. That's the sanctification process. Side to show the glory of God. Be Jesus in this world. I love that part. And so sanctify and saint come the same root word in the Greek language. Saint is actually the noun form of sanctify. So it's the word. So if when you see saint or you see the sanctify, it's basically the same thing. Set apart for a holy purpose. Aside to do something great. And again, we go back to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul goes, hey, you guys came from a pretty rough background. Some of you were liars. Some of you were homosexuals. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were swindlers. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were. And he gives them all these titles. And then in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. That's what you were, but now you're saints. Do you realize you're a saint this morning? That you don't need anybody to give you the tithe. You know, it's interesting because I think about saints, I think of really amazing dead people. Don't you? I mean, when you think about a saint, you go, oh, they're dead. They're all dead people. In fact, little known fact, stuff to know. The time that somebody actually dies to the time made a saint by the Catholic Church on average is 181 years. That's a long, long time to be a saint. Paul is a saint. God calls us a saint. Christ calls us a saint. We're sanctified. I mean, that's what that's all about. Saints are dead people, right? Saints are dead people.
No, that's not right.
But
because weren't we crucified with Christ? Didn't we die to ourselves? Walk in this newness of life? And so we have died, and now we walk in this newness of life. So now we're saints. But it doesn't tend to take 100 years. It takes some water and a commitment. It's an understanding of our faith. It's an understanding of repentance. It's an understanding of confession. It's an understanding of what baptism is, walking into this newness of life.
To me, that's just really
important to understand who we are. The Bible uses the word saint 60 times. It always refers to somebody who is alive. Never to somebody that's dead. Nope, that's true. It does, in a few places, talk about somebody that's dead. But in almost every single, it's talking about people that live. And in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it's used 9 times. It talks about people who are alive. I have this phrase, and I put it on the screen, and I appreciate she's always on it. We're not saints because we are so good. We are saints because God is so good. It is not about us. This word in the Greek is in the passive. There's a lot of phrases of surrounding in Greek. This is the part where my brain doesn't work real good because I'm not super good at that stuff. But I do understand the passive tech, the tense and works, and essentially that some of these phrases that he's talking about them is in this passive. In other words, that's not you. That's about God. God, all the action. God did all the saving. God did all the naming. It was all about. It's not about you. Like, for by grace you've been saved, right? You've been saved not by grace that you've been saved. For yourselves, it's a gift of God. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works.
So what we do
because we are saved. And I love that. One author said sanctification is a past reality, but it's a present responsibility. Because sanctification had a point, but then it continues forward. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, Hunter read that for us just a moment ago. It's just the same idea. Holiness and holy is essentially the same word. It's set apart for purpose. It's set apart for a purpose. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, see your hope on the grace brought to you when Jesus Christ revealed it has come. As obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had. Past tense, when you live in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Not saints because we're so good. We're saints because God is so good. Because of His grace, because of His mercy, He sanctifies us, calls us a saint. And then we're in this process of being sanctified, and we're going to get there eventually. It's going to become... And I know that. Paul says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. What he says. It's God's will that you should be sanctified right now. That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is honorable. And then 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. We're going to get to this wholeness eventually. I'm going to read another passage in just a minute. But it talks about this, that we are called to live holy life. The same guy that list
I am in Christ.
It's funny how, you Google something, you get to this. Well, I don't know how you do, but that's how brain works. And so my Googling works the exact same way. I read this and go to there and go there and go there and find there. And then I thought, who's this Neil Anderson guy? And then I read this quote and I thought, well, this is even better. This who I am in Christ list. Look what he says here. You do doesn't determine who you are. Who you are determines what you are. That's good. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm a saint. I have the promises of God. My life is different compared to everyone outside these walls who don't understand who Jesus is. And because of that, I am, that determines what I do. It changes how I act. It changes the way I react. It changes this idea of unoffendable and this idea of not letting people get under my skin and not letting other people change my day. How am I going to ruin my day because they're going to do stupid? Brant Hansen, you're amazed at the fact that somebody's doing something unbelievable. We say all the time, that's just unbelievable. I can't believe that God just pulled right on me. Really? Really? How long have you lived in this world? People are going to do stuff like that all the time. Just get over it. Right? Just let that guy go. Remember who you are. I think that's just powerful. As saints, we're sanctified when we gave our lives to Christ, and we're still in the process of being sanctified. Set apart for what? To do the good works of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24. Now may God of peace, notice how Paul uses that word again, peace, himself, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and your body kept blameless at the coming of our Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. Look what he says here. He'll surely do it. People are too easy sometimes.
It sounds like there. I just can't do this.
You can't. God says you can't. And he's faithful. He doesn't lie. You can surely do it. You just have to keep working toward what God has given you to do. Oh, this burden's too hard. Or I have with this sin. Well, God, to sanctify you. Allow God to continue to make you holy. We're not holy, come out of the baptism waters and go, but now I will never mess up again. Right? Shannon, do I have an amen on that? Yeah, Shannon, you talk about this all the time. It's like, you know what? We come out, we're babes, you know? I mean, the little one, to the J. Justice. That was a good way. I got that in there. So justice, right? He's just a little baby. You know? He doesn't wake up in the morning and go, you know, Jason sleeping. I love that. I think I'll just lay here. You know, I know I got a poopy diaper. I'm really hungry. Yeah, but it's good. I'll just until Dad gets up. Yeah, you know, it doesn't work that way. Well, babes in Christ, we have a tendency to be a little, and we have a tendency to not pay attention to things. We mature, right, as we continue to walk in this teleos love and continue to mature in the vocation, it's changing us. So don't get patient with God. Don't get impatient with yourself. It's not an overnight deal. It took us a long time to become our. It's gonna take us a lot longer to come out of that and become who God wants us to be. And I just love the fact that when we get to the second of Christ or our grave, whichever one comes first, when we get to our grave or when Jesus comes, he's gonna make us complete. He's gonna make us perfect. He's gonna teach us what it means to not worry about sin any longer. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good. I am on that same list. I am a citizen of heaven. I am God's. I am God's workmanship. God's child. I am a saint. That's good stuff. This one. I don't know about you guys.